Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we're live in Hawaii.
Where at?
Kauai Lihue.
Lihue.
That's hard. That's a lot of...
I'd like to buy a vowel, please. We're building a new FM radio station, and I'm talking with some of the owners here. And we're going to look at how you build a new FM radio station right here on This Week in Radio Tech.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by the new Ruby console from Lavo. See Lavo in your future at lavo.com/twert. And by the Telos Alliance and ZipStream processing and streaming software and hardware. Choose your platform and stream like you mean it.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. It's the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to the light bulb at the top of the tower.
Ding!
Today we are live in Lihue, Kauai, Hawaii. Wow, that's a lot of. I'd like to buy a vowel, please.
Aloha.
I'm Kirk Harnack here at a new radio station. It's not on the air yet. We're building it. In fact, this is the control room right here where we're standing. It's going to be the control room. It is KHKU FM, which kind of sort of spells what?
Hoku.
Hoku.
Which is the star.
Star. And so the English moniker is Star 90.
Star 94.3.
All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Our show, This Week in Radio Tech, is brought to you by our friends at Lavo and also by the folks at the Telos Alliance, makers of the new IP intercom called Infinity. We'll be hearing from those folks during the show. Chris Tobin couldn't be with us today. He had a last-minute commitment to produce some radio, so he's not with us right now. He'll be back next week. And by the way, next week, we got a terrific interview with a young lady from the Heil Sound Corporation, and they do microphones, and it's Michelle. She was with us last week on This Week in Radio Tech. She'll be here for the whole hour next week, so I'm looking forward to that, and she is really knowledgeable about microphones. We've had her boss, Bob Heil, on the show before, so and hopefully next week, we'll be talking through some Heil microphones. Right now, I just grabbed an EV... What is this, an EV RE20?
RE20s with the new case.
The new case. What? Oh, yes.
Have you seen the new case?
That's right. They're shipping them in these beautiful new cases now. Hey, in just a minute, we're going to talk about building a radio station. But yeah, this is the fancy EV microphone case. Well, you pay that much for a microphone, yeah, I guess you want a good case. So just toss it. So we're going to be talking about building a new FM radio station. Oh, Larry Fuss is here. He's going to tell us about, first of all, how we got the right to build a radio station. Larry, come on over here, man. So, Larry, you've put a bunch of radio stations on the air, and some of them I've helped you with, right?
Many of them, yes, most of them.
This is Larry Fuss. He's a member of the NAB Board of Directors.
Yeah, that's true.
And you represent some areas of the world for NAB.
Well, specifically, American Samoa, Guam, Saipan, Hawaii, and Southern California.
Sounds like some fact-finding missions to me.
Oh, yes.
So Larry, this is radio station number, what, about 30 you've put on the air?
Oh, probably close to it, yes.
Yeah. Well, you've been through a lot. Here in Lihue, that's where we are right now, on the island of Kauai, the garden island in Hawaii, there was a radio station that was for sale. So tell me what we bought exactly.
Well, we found a radio station that was off the air. And we bought it.
So when you buy a station that's off the air, obviously we didn't get much equipment because everything we ordered, it's here.
Right. There was a very minimal facility here. We got a little transmitter. We got a tiny little Mackie mixer and a couple other knickknacks. But we decided we wanted to build a full-fledged radio station. So here we are.
Hopefully, for both the previous owner and for us, we got some EAS gear.
We did. We got a DAS deck. I've never used a DAS deck before. This will be the first time.
They were at the NAB show. I saw them there.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So we also bought the license, or we applied for transfer of the license. How does that work with money and transferring a license and the FCC? What does the FCC care about in terms of moving a station from one owner to another? And what does the FCC not care about?
Well, you have to file a transfer of control application, Form 314. Unless you're buying an existing corporation, which is Form 315. They have forms for everything. And in our case, we were actually, our company bought the station from his company. So that's a 314. So you file that, you wait around for a while for the FCC to, do whatever they do. And then they finally approve it and you give the seller his money.
And so he's happy.
So do they do a background check on the owners of the new facility?
I don't think they really do anything extensive. You have to certify on there that you are a U.S. citizen or not. I think nowadays you're allowed to have up to 20% ownership non-U.S.
And we have a non-U.S. citizen as one of our owners.
Yeah. We do have one. We have a lady in New Zealand that owns 1% of our company.
Okay. So does the FCC care how much we pay for a license?
They don't care.
So they don't want to know about the financial transaction particularly.
I think you have to put the price in there. You got to include a copy of the contract with the transfer application. But details like that, I don't think they care. Whether you pay $10 or $10 million, they don't care.
So the financial part of buying a radio station, let's say this one is off the air. So we're getting not really any assets. There's no receivables that we're getting.
Right.
Yeah. So we're paying the owner for the right to what to get the for the right to basically to apply to the FCC to transfer the license.
Right. And then once it's transferred, it belongs to the new owner.
Okay. And is there a closing process?
Yes. Yes. Sometime after the transfer, you close. Most people, actually, there's like a 40-day period, I think, for finality. Mm-hmm. And most people actually waive the finality and go ahead and close.
Gotcha. Okay. So now that we have this license, that was approved a couple weeks ago by the FCC, right?
It was approved February 15th, I think.
Oh, okay. So, well, now that the license is transferred to us, we have a license to broadcast. How long do we have to get on the air?
Well, the station technically went off the air in August of last year. But just prior to closing, the owner put it back on the air for a couple days. So that bought us some time. Because you can only be off the air for 12 months before they grab your license.
Okay, so we're going to have it back on the air. Not this trip. We're building studios. We have a transmitter site to finish arranging for and install equipment. And we've got a local engineer here on island, guy that you and I have known for some time, Don Mussel.
I just met Don for the first time back in February. You've known him longer than I have.
Yeah, okay. So he's going to be doing our transmitter work.
He is. He's going to get the transmitter hooked up way up there on that mountain, way over there.
Is this one of these transmitter sites that you have to take a ride to get to?
Yes, I got to take this call.
Okay, all right. We were done with you anyway, Larry. Hey, Joey's here. We're going to talk about now actually building the studios. And in a few minutes, we're going to go take a look at the rack room, if we can get our remote camera to take us back there. This morning, we had some real excitement when we had to get this enormous piece of furniture table. It wouldn't fit up the stairs, so we had to rent a lift and remove a window and lift it up the side of the building in the parking lot and shove it into the building. Hey, Joe, you got some time, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. So this is a little bit of this show today is going to be building a radio station 101, at least as far as showing some of the parts that we use to put the station together. So, Joe, why don't we start with,
Part number one is a box knife. The sharper, the better, because we have about 800 boxes, and the city is about to cite us unless we get rid of them.
Oh, so we put a bunch of boxes downstairs.
Yeah. But we're going to get that sorted out today. But yes, part number one, tool number one, a good sharp box knife.
So just make sure I understand. It's okay with the city if a homeless person sleeps on the step, but you can't have any empty boxes on the step.
Well, that's the homeless person only has one box. 800 boxes. It's like you're starting a homeless condominium.
Okay. Hey, right behind me, there's some props. Why don't you grab your favorite? Just grab some props and bring them up here. So in building a studio, we ordered some things and we brought some things. One of the most important things in building a by the way, this studio is going to be audio over IP. It's going to be live wire.
So I'm sorry, are you done with me?
Yes, we're done with you.
Okay. Well, I had to take that call. Well, you know, we're putting together this brand new radio station, so we have stuff showing up left and right, and that was one of our deliveries that I was expecting. Office furniture. We have no place to sit in here, in case you haven't noticed.
That's why we're all standing.
There are no desks and there are no chairs in this entire radio station, and there's a truck on the way with those things.
Well, one more thing you can tell us is how you decided to name the radio station and how you decided on a format, because the station originally was built as a religious format, and you said, no, I think there's a format that's going to do better for us here.
Right. Well, you know, like most all radio guys, I just make a decision, and I think that'll be a good idea to call it this, and we'll program that. So that's what we did.
No, what's this logo behind us here?
That is Star 94.3. That's what we're going to call the radio station. And I think Joey already explained to you the call letters are KHKU.
Yeah.
HKU is Hoku, uh-huh, which in the Hawaiian language is Star. Because all the good call letters, like, you know, KSTR, all those good ones are gone.
I'll take it. Kauai's best mix of the 80s, 90s, and now.
Yeah, so KHOKU doesn't sound as good as Star 94.3.
So sorry. Okay, Larry, thanks a lot. I appreciate all that. Get some furniture up here. That'd be awesome.
I'm working on it.
All right, so when you're building a radio station, and Joey, come back now. When you're building a radio station, that's going to be audio over IP. One thing that you really need is this. You need lots of of cables that have RJ45 connectors. And you know what? You can use pre-made cables, or of course you can make your own. And we're doing a combination of both. We have we're in a building that's very hard to run cables through. In fact, we're going to talk to a couple of the co-owners here who just today have been running Cat 5 cables around. So you're going to definitely want cables to hook things up. Thank you, Joe. Oh yeah, and if you're doing audio over IP, but you still have regular analog or AES3 digital equipment, you're going to need some adapters to go from what is typically on the back of, say, live wire X nodes, which are RJ45 connectors for audio, and so you can use a little patch cable, and then you plug this into the back of whatever you're doing. Like, let's say here's a female one, so this would go in the back of a CD player. I think we're gonna have an emergency backup CD player as a backup to our automation system, and so you plug that in the back of the CD player. There we go. And then the other end of that gets an RJ45 cable, and that goes into the audio input on a node. And same thing for an audio output, like to run speakers, you would come out of the node with RJ45.
Hey, Fletcher's got to go in a minute.
So oh, he does? Oh, okay, well, here. All right. Come on in, Fletcher. This is Fletcher Ford. Fletcher's one of our owners. How you doing?
Good.
You own some radio stations.
Tom.
You know, this morning we were talking, and your answers were all short, and I think, you know, Fletcher's not going to make a very good interview here.
No, I'm not.
So yeah,
good things to do.
Your stations are up in Nebraska?
Illinois.
Oh, Illinois, I'm sorry. In the Quad Cities area and in?
Yeah. Yep, in downstate.
Awesome. So you have somebody doing engineering for you. It's your son?
He's our assistant engineer.
Uh-huh.
And he works with our chief engineer.
That's a full-time job taking care of 20-some radio stations.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good interviewer, ain't I?
You ran some cables this morning. Thanks very much. You and Mark.
Yes, Mark Jensen.
He's out there. So we'll, okay.
We got too much to do to be on the show.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you. Okay. All right. So that's Fletcher Ford, one of the owners of our station. This is one of the deals where we got a whole bunch of people together to each buy a fairly small amount. And I think there's 40 owners in this little radio station. So it's kind of an experiment for us. We don't usually do that. Joe, come back. What you got there?
More IP.
Oh, okay. Well, tell you what, let me grab this. So everybody needs headphone amps, and you can do headphone amps several ways. You can have like a Rain rack-mounted headphone amp, or you can do what we often do is those little bitty Behringer or Ross brand little quad headphone amps. Then you got headphone cables running all over the top of the counter. That's not so good. This is from Radio Systems, and it's pretty inexpensive. It's a headphone amp that can be powered over the Cat 5 cable using a Radio Systems standard. I think it's plus and minus 15 volts to run that. So this little module can be mounted a number of different ways. It's a standard size. It's the same size as your electrical switch on an electric box. But we've got a better way to do it. Radio Systems also makes this little mount right here, this bracket. It's plastic, mounts to the bottom. This part here goes on the bottom of the console, underneath the desk. And then here, you put those together for me. And then show that to the audience. So you put that together, and voila, you have hanging right there under the desk, you have a headphone jack and volume control, and buddy, it can get loud.
And if you need to mount it vertically, they have an optional face plate so that all of the writing is in the correct orientation.
Exactly. The one for this is still in the envelope back in the box. I didn't want to lose it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So we're using the Radio Systems for the headphone amps. All right, let's get something else out here. Oh, okay, so we're going to take some phone calls. And I love voice over IP phone systems. But here in Hawaii, the internet service that we got comes with a POTS phone line. Isn't that weird? You buy internet, and it's gigabit internet, and along with that gigabit comes a POTS phone line. Comes out, I mean, it's VoIP until it gets here, and then it comes out as POTS. So we got a Telos HX1 hybrid. This is for putting a telephone call on the air. There we go. I'm sorry. Wrong way. you had it right. So this is the front of the Telos HX1. And on the back, flip that around and show the folks the back. So the phone line goes in here. There we go. It's complicated. The phone line goes in here. And I've cut myself. And then you can attach a telephone to this other jack so you can answer the call, you know, manually and then put it on. And then it's got audio in and audio out. So you can send audio to the caller and get audio back from the caller. We will hook these connections up to the back of our Axia audio engine. All right. And you can, there's a switcher for mic level or line level. So if you want to feed it with a mic directly, you can do that, or line level to come out of our audio console at a line level. There's a remote connector, so you can remotely take the call or cut it off. put it on hold. We'll actually wire that up from our audio console, from GPIOs on the audio console, and then the power switch. So, and on the front, it's got some basic controls on the front too, for, you know, basically on, off, and hold. So you can control the color. Just one color at a time. That's all we're going to need here. Cool. Thank you very much. That's the Telephone Hybrid from Telos. It uses DSP technology. I think that's Telos. We say that's our fifth generation Telephone Hybrid. Oh, now, voila. This is an amazing box. Okay, kids, pay attention. So this is a 2RU box. But the way that the engineers at Axie have developed this, show them the edge here, is that, you know, a lot of times you mount things up next to each other in a rack and the heat builds up. Because, you know, the top of one box is just about touching the bottom of the next box on top of it. The folks at Telos made the box itself a little thinner than the front panel. So the front panel is two rack units, and the box is about 1.5 rack units, maybe about 1 3/8 rack units. Anyway, the point is you get built-in airflow, or built-in, you know, space for air to flow. Just because of the way they built it. And it's got these fins on the front here. When the engineers designed this, they tried to get heat from the components inside to wick up to the front. And so you've got these heat sink fins on the front. So that's kind of cool too. Now, it's fanless. That's the point. There's no fan in it because it sits in the studio. Now, this is really cool. So this is what we call the Core, QOR engine. This is for a little Axia console called a Radius. And I'll show you what it does here. First of all, it's got some mic inputs built right into it. So there's two mic inputs. We're going to have three mics here. So we're actually going to have to use a little extra DBX mic preamp and compressor and go into one of the line inputs. So then it's got, a total of 8 line level inputs. So these are stereo line level inputs on RJ45s, but they're balanced stereo. There's 4 line level outputs. So you could run, you know, go out to speakers, to headphones. Our headphone amps will hook up to one of these outputs. And so will the speaker. Also, one of the outputs will carry the mix minus audio for the hybrid that we just looked at. So that'll automatically route to one of these. Then there's also AES-EBU. So if you've got a digital CD player, or maybe your automation has AES-EBU, then you get that right there, AES-EBU in and out. On the same connector, it's just on the what would be the left channel of the analog if you do that. Then there's GPIO. So these are 5 closures in and 5 closures out on each of these 4. So there's a grand total of 20 inputs and 20 outputs on GPIO. Now, the next thing is kind of cool. Let's try to turn it this way. There is an Ethernet switch built into this engine. All right, that's awesome, because this engine is audio over IP, and it puts out AOIP and it takes in AOIP, and it can also act as a switch. So if you've got some other AOIP devices in the room, like an extra X node, or an audio processor, or if you have some AOIP speakers. We've taken these and hooked them up to Genelec AES-67 speakers. They can come right here from the switch. So this is an Ethernet switch right here. It's got 2 ports that are what are known as SFP ports. So those you can plug in fiber adapters, for example, there if you want to go a long ways with fiber or reduce your chances of lightning problems. Then you have ordinary ports here. Some are PoE. So if you've got a device that can be powered by power over Ethernet, that power is made available right here from the switch. There are 4 PoE ports and then 2 plain ports. Then over here, you've got these 2 connectors. This is where you would hook up your audio console. And if you have a what you might call a sidecar, if you've got a 6 or 8 fader sidecar for your console, then you can expand the size of your audio console with that. And then the power right there and a grounding stud. So there you go. That's going to be going into the furniture here in the studio, hopefully later today, maybe at the latest sometime tomorrow. And now the piece de la resistance. Come forward, Joe. So we have chosen for this station the Axia. This is the Radius console. There are 2 consoles that Axia makes that look like this. There's the IQ and the Radius. The main difference is the IQ has OLED meters up here, and it gives you a little bit more information as far as time, date, and timing. And you can meter up to 4 different things at once. The Radius console has LED meters, and so it costs a little bit less. And since we're on a budget here, and yes, I do have to pay for my consoles, that's we got the Radius console. But it's 8 faders, which will be plenty. Little OLED displays here that show what's brought up on the console. And, your usual on-off controls and your monitor and your headphone controls. Joe, you use a console just like this in American Samoa, don't you?
Yes, we do. And it is very handy. I think the most used feature beyond what every console has is the ability to have any audio source anywhere, anytime, by virtue of the...
Yeah, so you can choose different audio sources here or have them contained in a profile that you bring up this way. So in Samoa, we have how many stations there now?
There are two.
And there's a third one that we're kind of automating?
A third one that's automated, plus a very active newsroom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you wanted to, let's imagine that you had some kind of really cool interview going on 93KHJ, and you wanted to share this audio over on our other station, V103.
It would just be effortless just to call up that source, put it up. And it doesn't matter what microphone they're on, whether they're in either studio, whether they're in the news studio. Yeah, it's just there anytime.
Cool. And that's the power of networking.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Where do you want it? Okay, you could have it right there.
You don't have to run an extra wire for that, do you?
No, never.
It's just there on the network. So this will be installed maybe later today, tomorrow, probably at the latest. We've got to assemble this furniture. We just got the furniture up here. Go ahead and drop that. No, don't drop it. Hey, would Ben be available, or is he out doing something? So I'll tell you what, right now is a great time to take a quick break. We're going to hear from our friends at Lavo. Talking about their Ruby console. When we come back, we're going to talk about this amazing feat of getting some furniture up into a building that you just can't get stuff into. And then we're going to go take a look at the rack room and see what equipment we've already got in place in the rack room. That'll be coming up as we continue on This Week in Radio Tech. Take it away.
There has probably never been a better time in history to buy a new radio mixing console. Today's consoles are more sophisticated than ever, with more features and functions than you can shake a stick at, but have you noticed how complicated they are? There's a sea of knobs and switches and displays and buttons. Some of them look like you might need a pilot's license to do your show. Well, a board doesn't have to be complicated to be powerful. Just look at the new Ruby mixing surface from Lavo. The first thing you notice is how smooth and streamlined it is. Ruby has lots of cool tech, but what it doesn't have is that confusing ocean of buttons that clutter things up. Now, we all know that there are some console features the jock only uses once in a while. So why dedicate controls to them? Ruby fixes this problem by moving those once-in-a-blue-moon controls to a touch-sensitive, customizable GUI that happily shares screen space with your other studio software, helping you fight control room clutter. Thanks to this design innovation, talent that use Ruby produce smoother shows with less errors. Controls that are used the most fall naturally to hand, while functions that rarely need adjustment are easily controlled with just a couple of clicks in the context-sensitive GUI. And Ruby has cool features you won't find on other boards, like Auto Mix, an intelligent gain writing function that guarantees the perfect mix for multi-mic morning shows and call-in segments. Dual-mode snapshots that instantly switch the motorized faders between on-air and production modes, and enough DSP and I/O options to make even your pro sound pals green with envy. And because quality is as important to Lavo as it is to you, every console is proudly built to fanatically precise standards at Lavo's own factory in Germany. If you're ready to declutter your control room, do yourself a favor. Check out the new Ruby and the other cool Lavo radio tech at www.lavo.com/twert.
Thanks a lot to Lavo for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. We really appreciate them. And if you want to check them out, go to Lavo, lavo.com/twert. Put the /twert on there. It'll take you right to the radio products page, and they'll know that we sent you. So we appreciate that. Hey, Mark, come on in. So this is Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Good
to see you. Now, Joe, you don't have to go away. All three of us will fit in the shot. Joey's working. Mark, you're a station owner yourself.
Yes, I am. Well, I have four stations. I used to have six, sold two of them in 2015, and now just enjoying four and about five towers. So
you told me a story yesterday, and we don't have to go into great detail, but it's interesting. One of the problems that station owners and engineers deal with a lot of times is when they want to build a tower, when they want to site a tower, the pushback that often they get from local governments. You've got an FCC license that lets you put an antenna on a structure at this location, and that can be a challenge politically with the local political and zoning landscapes, right?
Especially if there is another radio station in the market that really doesn't want you to come into the market. And if they have friends on the county commissioner board or the zoning board, and the challenge is, again, getting your tower zoned in an area in which you'd spend all this time looking around trying to find the perfect site and you have topographical maps and you're trying to find the highest point you can find to put your tower. And you go all over the county and you find this perfect place and you talk to the landowner and you've got it set up. And then you go to the county commissioners, first zoning, and try to get approval, then county commissioners. And it's a challenge. I almost didn't get one put in because of that. So
besides the politics, that's interesting that some people in politics on zoning boards think that if a tower would fall, you need to have clear the entire radius that would be covered for the height of the tower. So if it's a 700-foot tower, you got to have 700 feet all the way around, even though your guy anchor points are maybe 500 feet out, maybe 400 feet out. But they don't understand how towers typically would fall.
That was a big problem for one of my sites. I had to bring a surveyor in and move it to the north about 20 feet just to make sure that it wouldn't hit a minimum maintenance road, which challenged me. I even brought in information. Normally, a tower only falls within 25% of the actual height of the tower. This was a 750-foot tower, and it would have been 20 feet over on top of this minimum maintenance road. So I spent the money. I didn't mess around and resurveyed it, moved the tower further to the north away from this road. And through the whole process, I had to go to zoning twice and the county commissioners twice. In the final run with the county commissioners, it was one vote that made it possible for me to put the tower up. I was stressing.
It's amazing. And I get it. Not everybody wants towers around. I talked to a lady in a subdivision where we own a rental cabin, and they wanted to build a cell tower up on the way up high, and also would hold fire, two-way radios and things like that. Good public service stuff. And they were going to have a vote on it. She was very worried about exposure to RF radiation from this cell tower and fire rescue tower. And I had to tell her, look, if your objection is aesthetic, I don't have an argument with you. I can't control what you think is aesthetically pleasing or not. But if your concern is that the rabbits will get cancer because there's a cell tower there, I got to disagree with you. There's just not much to support any such of a feeling. What did you get pushback on RF radiation as well?
Yes, I did. And I had to explain even these lights that are above us could be an issue, you know, if you're really that concerned. And I had to describe the height of the tower and in proximity where these homes were. And, you know, it's all licensed. It's approved by the FCC. They look at that. And so it's a non-issue. But you get all these kinds of challenges. I even had a challenge with the lights. They asked the landowner if it would be a problem for him to, you know, sleep at night with those lights flashing. And he says, well, I don't know about you, but I tend to close my eyes when I sleep. So, and the whole courtroom broke out in laughter after hearing that. Well, I appreciated the landlord. I mean, thankfully he mentioned that. But yeah, there's a lot of challenges that face any radio station owner when they try to put up a tower. And you not only have to deal with those issues and the people, if they're friends with the other radio station, you also have to deal with all the other things you have to follow through with the FCC to make sure it works.
So back to this station that we're building right here, you're a part owner, so glad you're here. You have been very helpful in getting some of the infrastructure wiring done. This is one thing that I don't always look forward to. I love to concentrate on the actual focus on the building of the studio. But you need cabling, a little bit of Cat 5 cabling. Used to be we had big honking, you know, trunks of multiple pairs of audio cable. And now we just run a few Cat 5 or Cat 6 cables. So tell us what you've done here this morning between this room and our rack room.
Well, we've run five Cat 5 from the main studio. Two Cat 5 from the production room to the main engineering room. And they're almost done. They're run through each room, close down by the baseboard, each room. And we have it covered up with some nice plastic cover. And so it should be ready to go so you can get it all wired. It's all up to you now.
Our first choice was to run this through the ceiling, but we've got a building here where the ceiling space is about like this, and it's mostly joists, and you'd have to have just a really well-trained weasel to get a cable through here.
I think the biggest challenge so far has been just getting the countertop for the main studio on a scissor lift outside between Joey and Fletcher and the other guys taking the windows out and get a scissor lift and bring it up through there. You have some video of that somewhere. I don't know where, but I'm sure it's good.
Well, on this show, we won't be able to insert it, but on my Twert Facebook page, I will post something that shows you guys bringing this up. Both of you kind of step in here a little bit closer. So tell me what happened this morning to get this counter. So we have this furniture. Radio stations, you know, love nice custom-built furniture to put the console on and to mount the mics and to mount any monitors that you might have and this kind of thing. And Larry bought this huge honking thing. Yeah,
it's gonna be
there. We go. There's Joe touching it right there. What you're seeing is about 25% of it. You can fit. You can. Yeah, I think you can seat the Duggars around this thing for dinner. It is a big, big.
We could have a talk radio station here and have like 10 microphones all the way around this baby. He's gonna bring. Can you bring the cardboard in, or is it out there somewhere?
So we have a cardboard cutout the same size as this tabletop. Well, let me describe this building. The front of this building. I don't know how this building ever got approval to get built the way it is, but it is a labyrinth of stairways to get up to where we are on the second floor. And you can almost not bring a chair up this stairway because of the twists and turns that the stairway makes. So here's Joe, let me get out of the way, with the, that's the size of the tabletop, and that 10 feet long, and there's no way this would go around the twists and turns, and it's too tall to stand up and go around the twists and turns. So, I'm discovering that Hawaiians must be short people who don't mind turning left and right a lot as they go up to an office building.
I'm just thankful we had a large window out here that we could take out. Two panes we took out and brought the scissor lift in and brought that up and set that on top. And it's a feat in itself. I hope some people get a chance to see the video of that. It's and I can't imagine having one engineer try to manhandle something like that. It's just not possible.
So yeah, so yesterday we were trying to think of how we're going to do this, and we're shopping around different stores. And was it Fletcher that suggested that?
Yes.
So Fletcher said, "I'll bet there's a Sunbelt rental place here." And sure enough, there is. And so we rented a scissor lift. It's almost $500 for a day of scissor lift, but if it takes that to get it up here. So we took a window out that's out in the lobby here. And or this way, it's out in the lobby here, and took the window physically out to open up just enough room. You guys laid the thing on the scissor lift down at the parking lot, and then what happened?
Well, then we set it on top of the scissor lift, brought this, and we put Fletcher underneath for extra support, and I brought it up. And then we had Joey and who else did we have? Ben was in here, and he helped slide it in, and we all lifted it in. But the good thing about the scissor lift is we have a refrigerator that's coming in. We have some other furniture that we're going to try to get in with that scissor lift. Rather than try to do the three angles you have to do and going up the flight of stairs, we're going to put it through that window today if the weather holds.
So. Awesome, awesome. So we'll have the furniture built in here maybe later on today, huh?
Yeah, that's the hope. I think it will happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we were videotaping the whole thing with the scissor lift because if something bad happened, you know, it'd make for good TV.
But I think we could destroy the recording if something went bad.
Yeah. If it was our fault, then yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, have it around for insurance purposes if something that wasn't your fault went bad.
Yeah. We have evidence if we need it, but if we don't, we can destroy it. So
right. That's right. Okay. All right. So so next is building this. Joey, is there anything else for us to show? Have we shown? Oh yeah, a couple little accessories. So when you're building a radio studio, not only do you need guys like Mark and Fletcher and Ben, who we haven't seen, you need don't forget to order a box of screws. These are rack screws, 1024 rack screws, and you'll need this, believe me. We'll go through most of that. And what else did we bring? Oh, yeah. So you want to turn your on-air light on and off? Most audio consoles, including the Axia one, you can't run 110 volts through it, so you get a Henry Super Relay, which is a safe and easy, convenient way to do this. You can build your own, but, you know, why when this is available? And so you give it the contact closure over here, and then it puts out AC here for your on-air light, either flashing or steady. Of course, it plugs in itself. You know, the wall. And you get more relays out, so if you need to start and stop other stuff, then you've got those available. Show us the on-air light itself. Larry, having a very minimal checkbook, being very frugal, got us this amazing on-air light.
It's a community hospital special.
Community hospital special. It does look like delivery or surgery. But no, it says
on-air.
So that's our on-air light. Cool. All right. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Hey, we have a red phone to show. That's kind of cool. So, you know, because we're a single request line station, remember earlier we showed you the hybrid, and it's got a plug for your phone. So you want to pick up and call and get your connection established. There you go. I didn't know you could buy these things new.
And you can get it with a red cord.
A red cord. Oh, my gosh.
That is the bat phone. That is a great bat phone.
Wow. Red phone, red cord. Oh, gee. what? Oh, and then when the phone rings, you want to be able to see that it's ringing. So this is not the kind that this is, you know, some of these were, there's neon lights powered by the ringing of the phone line. This one's different. You got AC power, and then it has a little, that's a strobe in there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'll really get your attention. So we'll hook that up to a POTS line. It's so weird to be hooking up a POTS line, but again, our business phone system here is all voice over IP. It's VoIP, and but the request line is going to be POTS. That's about it for in here. Oh, there's a network attack storage device back there. So one of the things that we're doing is we'll be using network attached storage here, and that right there is our NAS. It's a Netgear Ready NAS, and our kind of IT director, Tom, likes these things. So this is kind of pre-configured by Tom, and he'll do some more configuration remotely. And well, what's the
yeah, very light, doesn't get very hot, and holds up to 4 hard drives.
Oh yeah, okay, good. So you can have that in a RAID configuration or not, whatever you want. All right, tell you what, now we're going to take this opportunity to, I'm going to take the headphones off. We're going to go take the Cam 2 back into the rack room, all right? So I'm just giving a little warning to our producer, and I'm going to try to keep you entertained while we do this. But so the camera's pointing at you. Why don't you, you can just pick it up, and you can see right there. It's a split screen. So you'll see it on screen. Let's go. You're the cameraman. Let's go. Well, point it at something meaningful besides a, there you go. All right, here we go. We're going to go to the rack room. I can draw this mic cable with me without destroying everything. Hang on, I got to untangle the tangled mess I made here. All right, let's see if this will come on out. All right, how's that looking? Oh, good. Okay. All right. I don't know why we're seeing split screen there, but I'm sure that back at the network they know what they're doing. So there's our rack. And tell you what, let's pull a little bit closer and we'll look at the items that are in the rack. You can focus more on the left hand side here. And we can zip it up a little bit. So let's see. Up in the, yeah, okay. So up in the very top of the rack, we don't have our UPS yet. That's coming by slowboat. So we'll have to put that in after it comes in. But in the rack, we've got one of these Furman deals that shows you the line voltage. It has lights that pull out of it. These lights get kind of warm, so I don't always have them out. So these are some lights that kind of light up the front of the equipment. And then it's got a bunch of plugs in the back that you can plug your other stuff into. Well, the Furman right now is plugged into the wall, but that'll get switched to plug into the UPS once that gets here. We have this Omnia 7. It's an Omnia 7 FM audio processor. So we'll be running audio into this. Then we have our Axia Core switch. Since, you know, I like to save money, so we bought a used Cisco 2960G switch, and we wiped its configuration, and the folks at Axia in the support department remotely configured this for me. I could do it myself, but you know, if they do it, I know it's done right. So that'll be having you know, all of our Axia connections to it. We're gonna be using one of these RJ45 connectors to go to the audio console in the control room. These are configured as trunk ports, and all these others are configured as access ports. And the difference is an access port goes to an end device, like on Axia, like an Xnode, but a trunk port goes to another switch. And so switches talk to each other over ports that have been configured as trunk ports.
Question.
Yeah.
So given that the core engine can function as an end device and as a switch, does it go to a trunk or does it go to a...
That's a great question. It turns out the end devices that are in the Core 16, the engine, they're already configured as access devices. It was they're internal, so you don't really you don't have to wire those. There's nothing that, you know, they're connected internally and already connected to the switch. See, there's a switch in that console, right? So from switch to switch, it's a trunk connection, and then any devices that are hooked up to that switch internally or externally are all access devices. Does that make a little more sense?
Yeah.
We got a Rolls tuner. This will be tuned to our frequency. When we get that hooked up, that'll be on our air monitor. It's got, you know, one nice thing about this, Rolls makes some pretty inexpensive stuff. This one, the RS81B, has XLR connectors for its outputs. So we will connect from the XLR connectors output on these into one of these two X nodes. So these have the RJ45 connectors for the inputs and the outputs. We'll connect up to one of those. So then the Rolls tuner audio will be on the Axia network. So that'll be cool. We have a weather radio here, but we found out the weather radio transmitter here on Kauai is not one of the original old three frequencies. It's a newer frequency that's not contained in this radio. So we'll have to get something else. If you want to move a little bit over to here, and I don't know if you can tilt up. Yeah, there we go. Up to here. I got a Cisco SG200 switch for our business switch. So our voice over IP phones will be on this, as well as office computers, our internet access computers, all that will be on this switch right here. And then finally, at the very top, I put it up here because it's got Wi-Fi antennas on it. This is our MikroTik router. And so as soon as we get internet here in the building, that'll go to the port number one for the WAN input. And then it's got LAN outputs that'll go different places. But more importantly, it's got built-in Wi-Fi access point, which will be adequate for this small station. Here are some of the cables that have already been pulled by Mark and his crew. And Joe, I think we're done with this rack. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick break and hear from our other sponsor, the Telos Alliance, about the IP intercom system called Infinity. And when we come back, we're going to do an unboxing. Yeah, an unboxing. We're going to unbox a Nautel 1 kilowatt FM transmitter. It's still in the box. We're going to open it up and see what's inside. And I think that'll be kind of cool. So we'll check it out in just a minute. We'll be right back after this word from the Telos Alliance.
Hi, I'm Martin Deister, Vice President of Business Development and Product Director for Telos Infinity IP Intercom System. Telos Infinity is different to any other intercom system because it's the first IP intercom system that doesn't have a matrix. Great communication within the broadcast environment is essential to TV and radio production. With Telos Infinity, you can link all your production crew, whether it's the director in the production control room, sound guy in the booth, boom operator on the floor, your anchors in the studio, presenters out in the field, weatherman, even your weatherman. Production staff listening to communications audio are hearing crystal clear sounds. It means the nuances of the people communicating with them can be heard all the time. Everything is crystal clear and accurate. The master intercom panels that we've created include multicolor LCD switches. You can use color coding to group IFBs, to group production crew members, your remotes, anybody else. Matrix-free intercom means low cost of entry, low cost of design, low cost of installation from the get-go. With Telos Infinity, you start saving money the moment you install it, and you continue to save money for the life of the product. The same benefits that broadcasters all around the world have found by using audio over IP now apply to intercom for the very first time. Never before have you been able to communicate using program quality audio simply by connecting two devices into a network switch. It truly is plug and play. Programming an intercom system has never been easier than it is with Telos Infinity. With our advanced dashboard programming utility, you can have your intercom system out of the box and up and running in record time. I'm Martin Deister, inviting you to visit telosalliance.com to learn more about Telos Infinity Broadcast Optimized Intercom System, the first matrix-free IP intercom system optimized for broadcast.
And thanks a lot to the Telos Alliance for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech and the new IP intercom called Infinity. All right, we're back, and as promised, the unboxing. We don't have a table to set this on because we're kneeling here on the floor with it. Joe, what's inside the box?
I have a new Nautel 1 kilowatt transmitter purchased by one Larry Fuss, and I know he's really excited about this one because he's called me and told me whenever he was going to buy it. He called me and told me that he had just bought it. He called me and told me whenever it was shipped, and then he called and told me whenever it had arrived at its destination. And, you know, too bad. He went off to do some shopping, so we're going to get to unbox it without him.
That's right. All right. Let's go ahead. We went ahead and slit the wires. Tape, duh. And so when you open it up, actually, we actually already took off this part right here. And I want to show you something cool. You know, a lot of companies have a stop. You know, if it doesn't work, don't take it back to the store. This one, and I took it out already. It says, look here for the instructions. And Nautel puts the instruction manual on a USB stick right there. And so before you open it up, you're saying, hey, grab this. There's videos on here, too. Documentation and helpful startup videos that are on this USB, and look at those before you unbox your transmitter. Okay, I'll look at those, I promise. So we have manual, with nice clear pictures of the different sizes of connectors that are used. And look at that. They even give you cable ties and the mating connectors. Ooh, that's important. You know, go try to find a 25-pin DSM 25 female, now that Radio Shack's not around anymore. And even when they were here, you might not have found one. So, all right, little parts. This whole, let's go ahead. So here's the power cord. Uses that funky power connector because it's a high amperage. All right, so there's the power cable. And I don't know what's in there. I'm not going to find out right now. And there's a printed quick start guide right there. So if you don't want to watch the videos, you can look at that. And, proof of performance tests right here. All right, good. The other stuff in here looks like rack rails. Yeah? Okay, so let's take this tray out. And we can set it right over here. All right, Joe. This looks like a transmitter to me. There are more rack rails on the sides. Okay, we can leave those in there, but these are the rack rails that actually go in there. So let's lift that baby up. Aha! So this would be... Yeah, you can just... Oh, good, good, good. Perfect. So on the front here, this is their fans. We own a couple of these at other stations, but here's the fans that draw your air in. The display on the front, some control buttons. So the weight is not held by screws here. You need to put rack rails in there and support them in the back as well. Joe, can you turn it around? We can have just a quick look at the back. We don't need to be up close, but we'll just see what's back there. So Nautel gives you a lot of options as to what to do. There is a Ethernet port here for remote control. SNMP would be on there. Their advanced user interface, their AUI, is available there. And LiveWire is available there too. So you can actually run LiveWire audio directly into this Nautel VS1 transmitter. Of course, the power comes in right here. So there's a power and the power switch. There's composite inputs. And there's a whole bunch of inputs here. And I'm not going to try to read them all here. So there's an RF sample out to go to your mod monitor right there. Multiplex inputs, balanced and unbalanced. Subcarrier inputs, if you have a separate subcarrier generator. We chose to get the CA option, the RDS option on our Omnia 7. It's built in, so that comes in with the composite anyway. There's remote control ports for monitoring and control. There's some serial port here. There's an AES EBU input, so especially if you've got the AES 192, that would be composite over AES, you can use that as well there. So just lots of options here. And then here's the big RF output right down here. So that's where the kilowatt comes out, and also all the hot air comes out the back here from it heating up, doing its job. So there you go. There's your unboxing of a Nautel transmitter. Joe, thanks for your help, man. Appreciate it. The other thing I want to point out, Joe, if you can point it up to these, every radio station's got computers, and so this is our supply of 24-inch LED displays for the computers and for the control room. So we'll be unboxing those here in the next short while. Also, we got a surge suppressor down here that'll be going in on our AC power. Is that for the transmitter side or for here? Okay, so I'll go to the transmitter side. All right, Joe. Hey, well, just follow me back to the main room, and we will give you a few final thoughts on the show and wrap things up. Worked amazingly well. I think that's the first time we've done that kind of shot. I'll put my headphones back on. All right. Well, Joe, we've got a few more days here, and we got to have this room built.
I can't think of any other business where a group of owners would come together and take a vacation from work in order to come and do some more work. And I think it's a real testimony to the ability of small broadcasters to retain their love for the business.
Yeah,
and because that's what you have to have, because you don't tote things up three flights of stairs, and you don't, trouble and worry about all of the different things that we do unless you really do love it. And that's the great thing. And I'm sure once all it's done, we'll take a ride around and see some more of the sites. It's a really beautiful place. It's definitely full of beautiful people.
We're broadcasters. We're going to ride around and see how far the signal gets.
Let's do it.
That's what broadcasters do.
That's the job.
And I got to tell you, that's the next challenge here is running around and see where the signal's going to go. Kauai, like many islands, is very mountainous, and the mountains are jagged and rugged here, and there's no one point on the island you can put a transmitter and hit the whole island. So, and thank goodness you don't have to, because part of the island is pretty uninhabited. But it's also hard to find a place to put a transmitter and hit all the inhabited parts of the island. So we're going to put this transmitter back where it was originally. And then we're going to have to explore an on-channel booster to hit part of the island that the main location is not going to hit.
And that's going to be, thankfully, a little bit easier than it might be in some places that aren't as developed technologically. The fiber optic backbone on this island is pretty strong, so I think we can get that done reasonably easy.
And the other good news is the island is not very inhabited during the in the areas that would be a potential for interference between the main transmitter and an on-channel booster. So you know we'll have two transmitters running at 94.3, the main one, and then a little area, probably the principal area, is going to be blocked from our main transmitter by a ridge.
Yeah, so I mean the nulls will be minimal.
Yeah, but the interference areas won't hit many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Joe, we've got a few more days to get this done. When we're done, we're leaving here. We still won't be on the air. We got to come back and do the transmitter work another time, right?
We have to come back. I think there'll be several trips, and in the meantime, this bad boy is going to get a lot of use. Because once all the studio furniture is put together, we got 10,000 bumper stickers to unbox and get them done. Get them out there.
So tell you what, we'll be back with you live from here with it built in June. I'm coming back in June, and we'll finish up the work that's got to be done here, whatever little bit that may be. Hopefully, we'll be on the air about that same time, full time, and we'll do it from there. Well, anyway, the point is, we'll give you a live report from here. In fact, we'll probably do two shows from here, so I'm going to be on a vacation from out here. So I got to tell you, using audio over IP really makes this a lot easier. The amount of cable we've had to pull is minimal. We could technically have gotten by with pulling one cable into this room, into the control room from back there. Now, sometimes it's a little easier if you just pull several. You figure, oh yeah, I need some wires for my on-air light, or there's always something else you need it's easier just done some other way. So we're about done here. So I appreciate our sponsors very much. The folks at Lavo, makers of the Ruby console, and also the Telos Alliance, makers of the new IP intercom called Infinity. For Lavo, you want to check them out? I wish you would. Go to Lavo, Lavo.com/twirt, TWIRT. And for the Telos Alliance, the website is telosalliance.com. And you can find the Infinity right there on the website on the front page. Really easy to find, take care of. All right, so we will be back with you next week. Chris Tobin should be with us. And also Michelle from Heil Sound will be with us as well, talking about microphones, and that's going to be a good show. Michelle was with us on our NAB show, and she'll be coming up for a whole hour next week. Plus, many more guests of interest on the way in coming episodes. So we'll see you next week. I want to say thanks to Suncast, our producer, for putting up with this pretty interesting setup we had today. Thanks to Andrew Zarian, the founder of the GFQ Network. Thanks to Chris Tobin. We'll see him back here next week. Thanks to you for watching This Week in Radio Tech. Bye.